That's Marian McPartlin playing Jerome Kern and Oscar Hammerstein's All the Things You Are. And over the next hour, if I can touch on even half of all the things Marian McPartlin is, I'll have done very, very well. Hello, I'm Murray Horwitz. At NPR, I've been lucky enough to work closely with Marian, on the air and off, for over 25 years. But 25 years is nothing. Marian's been doing radio for almost 50 years, most of it spent on the monumental program we're celebrating. It's the 30th anniversary of one of the greatest music shows in American broadcast history, Marian McPartlin's Piano Jazz. Sorry, let me do that again. Marian McPartlin's Piano Jazz. Great, I've always wanted to do that. I mentioned that Marian is many things: a pianist, composer, author, storyteller, American song expert, pioneer, gender basher. It's hard to know where to start praising her, but that familiar theme song gives us a cue. It's called Kaleidoscope, a Marian McPartlin composition, by the way, and for 30 years, it's introduced Marian and one of the things she does best. Marian is a great radio host.
Oh, Oscar, that is a beautiful tune. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
And welcome. It's nice to have you here.
That's Marian welcoming Oscar Peterson in 1980. She not only makes her guests feel welcome, she makes you and me welcome at the same time. She and her guests are having the best time, and Marian lets us know she's thrilled to have us there eavesdropping. Let's do some of that as she and Mr. Peterson talk about competition among musicians.
Again, I love that line I read somewhere about you guys, probably Herb Ellis, I don't know, different guitarists you've had, and Ray, you know, that everybody's out to get each other.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
every night it was a threatening contest. I'd come downstairs or come into the club, and they'd look at me and say, "How do you feel?" I said, "I feel good." I said, "I hope so." "Why?" I said, "Because we're going to waste you tonight." You know, that was the attitude.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, it was a great attitude because, you know, as much as it was a kibitz, I'd say to myself, subconsciously, I'd say, "Well, I just better maybe stretch out a little on them the first set so they won't think they can actually do it." And meanwhile, they're mentally probably thinking the same thing, saying, "Well, you know, he probably thinks we're kidding him. He said that, but let's get him anyway." So I think, if anything, the audience and the listeners benefited from any event that went on.
Oh, probably. Oh, I love all that interplay. You know, George Shearing and I have been doing a few two-piano things, and he's like that. He doesn't say anything, but every minute he's trying to waste me. And he does.
You're not too easily wasteable.
He changes key. He'll play some stride piano.
Oh, yeah.
He'll do things that are really, really mean. You know, but I love it. I love every minute of it. How about another duet?
Oh, I'd love to.
And this is one of my favorite tunes, Falling in Love with Love. And we're going to do this in C, right?
I hope so. Because I don't know it in any other key.
Can I do an ad lib introduction?
Yeah,
and then I'll go into C.
Go ahead.
Right.
I'll follow you. Thank you.
fun. Thank you. You know, that's really a kick for me. Goodness.
Oh, for you.
Be on cloud nine for a while.
Marion McPartland and Oscar Peterson playing Rodgers and Hart's Falling in Love with Love, the kind of intimate musical conversation that won the prestigious Peabody Award in 1983 for piano jazz, Marion, the show's producers at South Carolina ETV Radio, and NPR. The bread and butter of piano jazz is the great American popular songbook, Rodgers and Hart, the Gershwins, Marion's friend Duke Ellington, Hoagy Carmichael, Irving Berlin, and all the rest of the songwriters of the Golden Age. It's a pleasure to enter their world every week through Marion.
How do you learn so many tunes? I mean, you know thousands of tunes.
But not as many as you, Marion. Well,
I'll tell you something. If we had a competition, I think you probably would win hands down.
That's Marion arguing with all-time great pianist Hank Jones, and believe me, that's a rare argument. Marion seldom defers to anybody in her knowledge of tunes, and properly so. She knows a million of them. Listen to Hank and Marion talk about a song they probably danced to in 1940, Polka Dots and Moonbeams. It's like they're talking about a living thing, a relative maybe, or an old friend.
John, you, John, and myself
John,
were
John
doing...
John Lewis.
John, is there another John?
I guess not.
John Lewis, you and myself were doing our Japanese tour. A tune that I think you played, and I think at one time I played, and I think John, I think all three of us played this tune at one time or other, but never together. But I'd like to hear your rendition of this tune now.
Polka Dots and Moonbeams.
Polka Dots and Moonbeams.
It's funny. Maybe I did play that then, but it probably is a little different. Now, hope so anyway.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be very beautiful. Thank you.
Nobody plays World War II ballads like Marion McPartland. Polka Dots and Moonbeams by Jimmy Van Heusen and Johnny Burke. That wonderful music and this whole program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. So they support NEA Jazz Master Marion McPartland. I'm Murray Horwitz, celebrating the 30th anniversary of Marion McPartland's Piano Jazz from NPR. I never took calculus, so don't trust me entirely here, but I figure that Marion has had something like 650 guests on Piano Jazz over the last 30 years. 650 guests! And this isn't spending a couple of minutes in a news interview. This is spending an entire hour talking and playing with each of them. People you've heard of, people you haven't heard of, old people, young people, people from here, people from overseas. You have to have enormous intellectual and cultural range to do that. And you have to be open to music of all kinds. In 1991, Ray Charles talked about that broad-minded approach to music with Marion, who kept up with him every step of the way. And after their chat, listen to how this British-born woman can play the blues with the genius himself.
Music to me is, I guess the word, only thing I can say is that the media gives it names. But I don't deal with music that way. You know, I know what they mean. I understand jazz. I know what they mean by country, and I know what they mean, you know, classical music. But my thing, for me, I deal with music for music. If it feels good to me, then that's what I do. So that's why I say when I in my early part of my life, there were many people who had influence on me, you know, like in the blues field, there were people like Tampa Red and Big Boy Crudder and Blind Boy Phillips.
Lonnie Johnson.
Yeah, that's right. But yes, those are the people that I would listen to. But also on Saturday night, my mom would let me stay up for one reason, so I could hear Grand Ole Opry. I like country music. And naturally, being a kid in the South in a little small town, you know, on Sundays, everybody, you go to church, you know, and you're there all day, you know, and I was a member of the BYPU, which was for the Baptist Young People's Union, you know, so all these things have influence on you, you know, and of course, naturally in my community, you were going to hear the blues because that's what it was all about, you know.
Listen, I want to learn something from you. You played something before, like a nice little blues thing.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, when you play, your time thing is so, like sometimes you lay back so far, and I'm thinking.
Yeah, I've been accused of that.
No, but it's wonderful because it's so interesting to hear somebody do that and they don't ever lay back too far.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but as long as you know how to wind back up where one is.
But I just want to play that blues with you because I'm going to learn something.
Let's see. Thank you.
sounds so good. Oh, I sure like that. Oh, I love that.
Sure he loves that. Ray Charles, Marion McPartland, and Mercer Ellington's blues, Things Ain't What They Used to Be. If you're a devoted piano jazz listener, one of the things you may have noticed over the years is what Marion plays when she does a solo piece. I've been struck by the fact that the greater the musicians, the more likely they are to ask Marion to play one of her own compositions. It's another key element of her musical personality and of the show's success. Composer Marion McPartland. Here's one that's become almost a standard, the very beautiful There'll Be Other Times. Marianne McPartland playing her own composition, There'll Be Other Times. You know, you listen to Marianne, and she doesn't sound like she's interviewing anybody, but she's one of the greatest interviewers on the air. She gets musicians to reveal things that they usually don't, and gets them to talk about music without talking down to us, non-musicians. Check out this exchange with then-rising star Nora Jones in 2003.
I don't know, I'm thinking to myself, what a sort of fairy tale thing that happened to you. You came right out with this hit record. It's just so, to me, it is sort of like a fairy tale.
Yeah, thing. It is. It's weird. I didn't think, I was excited to make a record, and I knew it would be my first record, and it wouldn't be perfect, and that hopefully some people would hear it, but, you know, wouldn't be a big deal, and then I could go on to the next record. And had I known so many people were going to hear it, I probably wouldn't have let it go, wouldn't have let it be released. It's just so weird to have your first thing out there, you know, for me anyway.
Well, and then to get involved with so many dates, I mean, that must be a little hard.
Oh, the
all
touring.
That traveling, isn't it?
Yeah. It's good, though. My whole band and my sound people, we're all really close friends. And
well, that's nice.
It's actually really nice, yeah. I think that has a lot to do with it. If you don't have a good touring family, I think it would be hard.
I hope it's fair to say that some of the sensitivity of Marianne the interviewer, especially when it comes to her visits with other women musicians, comes from her own experience as a woman in jazz and as one of the most important women in all of modern music. Don't take my word for it. Queen Elizabeth II just made Marianne an officer of the Order of the British Empire for all of her work in music. Marianne has continued to champion women in jazz and has introduced us to dozens of new and sometimes overlooked musicians. But nowhere are her sensitivity and empathy on more glorious display than when she's accompanying singers. Marianne is one of the great accompanists of all time. In fact, the first time I became aware of her was when I saw a column she wrote about accompanying, or comping as they say, in Downbeat magazine about 45 years ago. It takes so much to be a great accompanist, not just musicianship and technique, but character, humanity really, and a kind of faith. Marianne spoke about it in 2002 with the singer Nina Freelon.
What a wonderful thing when you can trust that the music will bring you to where you need to be.
Well, I guess when we're doing this kind of thing, we do have to have faith or try something. I think that's one of the things about jazz, that you try things. You don't go with the old tried and true. Even if it doesn't come off the way you intended, you can usually make something out of it.
It's true.
Not only a lesson in jazz, a lesson in life from Marianne McPartland. Listen to how that attitude carries her through. When Marianne introduced us to a singer and pianist new to most of us in 1995, it was also their first meeting. And yet, listen to how they perform together without a rehearsal. Listen to how Marianne listens and supports a singer with somewhat tricky phrasing, Diana Krall.
Well, you know, you mentioned earlier, Diana, a Benny Carter tune, which I think is one of his best tunes, Only Trust Your Heart. Mm-hmm. Maybe we could try that one.
Okay, I just learned it, so
oh,
it'll
yeah?
be fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, great. What key do you do it in?
An E flat.
Okay.
Never trust in the stars when you're about to fall in love. Look for hidden signs before you start to sigh. Never trust the moon when you're about to taste his kiss. He knows all the lines and how to lie. Just wait for a night when the skies are all bare, and then if you still care, never trust your dreams when you're about to fall in love, for your dreams will quickly fall apart. So if you're smart, really smart, only trust your heart. Just wait for a night when the skies are all bare, and then if you still care, never trust your dreams when you're about to fall in love, for your dreams will quickly fall apart. So if you're smart, really smart, only trust your heart, only trust your heart.
Tune.
Diana Krall voice, Marion McPartland piano. The Benny Carter Sammy Kahn ballad, Only Trust Your Heart. Believe me, with literally hundreds of piano jazz shows, there's a lot to explore. And you can find almost all of it at pianojazz.npr.org. Artist information, set lists, podcasts, and more. I'm Murray Horwitz, and we're celebrating the 30th anniversary of Marion McPartland's Piano Jazz from NPR. I knew it would come to this. When you look at the hundreds of men and women who have appeared on Marion McPartland's Piano Jazz, it's almost impossible to believe that one person could play with all of them in all those different styles. And I knew at some point I'd have to read you a list. Just listen to some of these names and think about the music associated with each of them. Roy Eldridge, Bella Fleck, Alice Coltrane, Linda Ronstadt, Bill Evans, Renee Fleming, Lionel Hampton, Paquito de Rivera, Henry Mancini, Herbie Hancock, Boz Scaggs, Sarah Vaughan, Elvis Costello, Bill Frisell, Billy Taylor, Judy Collins, Wynton Marsalis, and John and Bucky Pizzarelli. And that's only 19 people. It wouldn't even make 1 year of piano jazz, and Marion more than held her own with all of them. Does the word versatility leap to mind? We've put together a tiny sample of some of the styles Marion can play. Are you strapped in? Here she is, rocking some New Orleans rhythm and blues with Marsha Ball. Playing bebop with Dizzy Gillespie. Ragtime with Ubi Blake. Country with Willie Nelson and Jackie King.
Wondering what in the world did I do?
And Bach for William F. Buckley Jr., to whom she just confessed her inability to play Bach.
I could not play a piece like that.
That all takes technique, sure. But it's not just chops. It also takes a strong musical personality to be able to adapt to all those styles and to express yourself honestly in all of them. But as you know, just by listening to her on the radio, Marion McPartland is a woman of strong personality and great character. Let me tell you a story, one of the greatest real-life love stories I know. It all started in the 1940s when a hot jazz Chicago trumpet player named Jimmy McPartland found himself in the middle of World War II. Actually, I'll let Marion tell you about it, as she told her guest Clint Eastwood in 2004.
I met Jimmy in Europe, because I'm from England, and I was in USO, and we met over there. He was in the army, but somebody got him out of combat into special service. So we were sort of thrown together, one might say, and we were playing for the GIs. It was kind of serendipitous, like there we were. So we got engaged and we got married over there in Aachen, Germany. And Jimmy brought me back to the States, and I was so thrilled.
Had you been playing for many years prior when you met him? Was music was your common draw together?
Absolutely.
I said it's a love story. And it is. But I also said it was real life. Marion and Jimmy had some very rough patches. Jimmy drank, and she almost left him a couple of times. Musically, they went their separate ways in the 1950s, and as she told the New Yorker magazine years later, Jimmy and I got divorced in 1970. I didn't really want to do it, and neither did he, but it turned out we were right. Jimmy stopped drinking, and now I'm twice as productive. But they continued to talk on the phone nearly every day, and to see each other often. Then, in the late 1980s, Jimmy was stricken with cancer. Marion became his primary caregiver. She was completely devoted to him. And in 1990, just a few weeks before he died, Jimmy McPartland, lying in a bed on Long Island, proposed marriage to his ex-wife. The ceremony was performed right in the hospital, and I have to believe he died a happy man. As for Marion, characteristically, it was a song that brought back a memory. It came when she was talking with singer Nora Jones in 2003, and Marion played For All We Know.
It's funny about that tune. It really has a lot of meaning for me. It's one of my all-time favorite tunes. I'm trying to think of the second line, For All We Know. We come and go.
Just like ripples
like
on a
stream. Like the ripples on a stream.
Yeah, it's so pretty. That's one of the perfect songs, I think.
But, you know, it's sad, but at the time it seemed wonderful. When Jimmy, my husband, died, a musician that we'd both known sent me a card, and he wrote that line on it.
Oh, wow.
We come and go like the ripples on a stream.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Isn't it? That's
it's pretty deep.
Terrific line.
Yeah.
It's true. But meanwhile, we're here.
Thank you.
For All We Know, by Sam Lewis and J. Fred Coots, played by Marion McPartland, thinking of Jimmy. When an artist lets us in like that, we can only be grateful. But that's what Marion and her music are all about, letting us see her and her friends and colleagues as candidly and honestly as she can manage. We'll hear her do some more of that in just a minute, on a program that's made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz and that's a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. I'm Murray Horwitz, and this is the 30th anniversary of Piano Jazz from NPR. It's not sentimental or even romantic to talk about Marion McPartland's character. You simply can't achieve 30 years of a show like Piano Jazz without integrity, humor, a little bit of courage, and maybe most of all, generosity of spirit. First of all, Marion is generous with her guests and always self-effacing. It's quite a trick to be self-effacing when you're playing a solo piano piece for 4 minutes, but somehow Marion does it. She's generous as a musician, as a friend, and of course, she's generous with us, her listeners. She doesn't hesitate to take us inside the music, to tell us what she's thinking, and to show us what's going through the minds of the other musicians on her show. Here's an example, and it's one that finds Marion right at home with maybe her greatest group. It's important to remember that throughout her career, Marion's almost always been a leader of small ensembles. There are many great jazz players who have been unsuccessful band leaders. It takes tact, diplomacy, and, yep, generosity to function well at the head of an ensemble. It also helps if you pay everybody on time. Marion managed to keep a gig as a leader for the better part of 12 years with her most famous group, the Hickory House Trio. The Hickory House was one of the landmarks of jazz's legendary 52nd Street scene in New York City, and Marion reigned there throughout the 1950s and into the 60s. The greatest version of the trio featured bassist Bill Crow and drummer Joe Morello. Marion reunited them on Piano Jazz in 1991, and not only gave us a glimpse into how working musicians actually make music, but before that, what they have to go through professionally. At the Hickory House, they had to struggle even to be seen, as Bill Crow remembered.
Well, it's funny, when we first came to work there, the only light on the bandstand was a little soft floodlight that they had over the piano shining down on Marion's head. And we were in the middle of a huge oval bar with piles of whiskey bottles on both ends and the bartenders running around at our feet. And Marion would complain that there was more light out in the room than there was on the bandstand. It was very hard for us to attract the attention of the audience sometimes. So we finally got John Popkin, the owner, to turn the brightest lights off as soon as the dinner hour was over and the music began. But it was still very bright in there.
In fact, he had this huge cabinet with steaks and pieces of meat in it. And
it was lit better than we were.
It was. In fact, I said to him rather vulgarly, "Why don't you turn that light out and put some lights on the other meat?" And he wasn't too amused. Well, let's have a go at another tune.
Great.
Well, Bill, something you showed me, I used to play this tune called I Hear Music, and you had this nice little, I don't know what you call it, putting the tune in another place, that the tune goes... and you had it go...
Did I do that?
You did that. No, you did that. It was nice, because then the melody is on the bottom.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I thought it was sort of hip.
Shall we do it?
Yeah, let's do it. Okay, here we go. Like, one, two, one.
Thank you.
Frank Lesser and Burton Lane's I Hear Music. Well, thanks to Marian McPartland, we've been hearing music, mighty fine music, as the song says, for over 30 years on Marian McPartland's Piano Jazz. It's not just the longest-running music show on public radio. It's a musical and cultural monument, a priceless national treasure that we'll keep enjoying, if we've got any taste, for many years to come. Thanks, Marian. And thank you for listening. For NPR, I'm Murray Horwitz.
Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer Robin Hilton, mastering engineer David Mitchell, production manager Grant Jackson, executive producer Elaine Freeman. If you wish to contact us, our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1101 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. To find out more about the artists and music selections heard on Piano Jazz, to listen to a recent program, or link to our preview podcast, visit our website, pianojazz.npr.org. Support for Piano Jazz comes from Jazz Times Magazine, delivering jazz news, insight, and advice since 1970, at newsstands everywhere and on the web at jazztimes.com. And from Save America's Treasures, through a partnership between the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Park Service Department of the Interior. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and NPR. Contributors include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And the Wallace Foundation, a source of ideas for expanding learning opportunities beyond the school day, at wallacefoundation.org. This is NPR.